Visualize this. I'm in the middle of the fairway on the 360-yard par 4 16th hole at my home course, and it's go time. I have 90 yards into a pin on a green that is slanted towards me. All I have to do is make a clean 80% swing to put one close for a chance at birdie. But there's a problem. The second shot is directly over a small, reedy pond. For a brief moment, I contemplate all of the many Pro V1s I have lost to this ignominious, watery grave. I take a deep breath as I square up to my ball. Not today, I say to myself. This is going nowhere but the center of the green. I set up to the ball and deliver a smooth, controlled swing. I make crisp contact with the ground about 2 inches behind the ball. I watch it half-heartedly trundle through the air towards the reeds and hear the unmistakable sound of ball in water. I hang my head for a moment and reach a predictable realization. Something has got to change. Clearly, my game needs some work. To that end, I'm teaming up with my two best friends to try something new. Together, we're going to wage war on terrible golf. We're going to pull out all the stops and try and chase the lofty title of Average Golfer. And we're going to record the entire journey for the record.
Golf, the hardest game we love to play. These are the ramblings of three nerdy golfers. Our continuing mission: explore strange new swing techniques, seek out lower handicaps and awesome golf courses, and to boldly swing where a safe layup would have been the smarter choice.
Welcome to For the Record. We are three self-proclaimed nerds that happen to golf and want to get better. I'm Cody.
I'm Eric.
And I am John Paul.
And we're here to document our golf journey and do a little bit better, is our hope.
Excellent.
We'll see if that actually happens.
I think it would be super helpful for our listeners to get a little bit of background, and I think Cody should lead us off. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Cody.
Sure. I'm a terrible golfer, but I love it. To tell you how terrible, I'm a 26.9 handicap, which is so much worse than I feel I actually am at golf.
Yeah, I feel like that does you justice. I feel like you do a lot better.
I don't know if it's the number of rounds that I'm able to fit in, or if just I get in my head. I was actually golfing once with a guy, and we were just chatting, and I could tell that he was a really good golfer. He was just like, "Hey, let's pair up with these other guys. We'll go a little bit faster." He's like, "I'm good. I can carry us if you need." And I was like, "Okay." Like, I've never met anybody that proclaims that they're actually really good. Usually, if they do, that means they really suck. no, this guy was good. Like, we played the first hole, and I was like, "Do you you keep a handicap?" He's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "What is it?" He's like, +2.
Oh gosh!
And I was like, "Oh, okay." He's like, "What are you?" And I was like, 26, 27, somewhere around there. And he just went, "Oh."
So awkward.
So
let the air right out of that balloon.
Yeah. So my goal is to bring that number down ultimately. I think my love of golf came when I used to golf with a buddy, and we'd just go to the driving range, and he was a much better golfer than I was. I just like seeing how hard and how far I could hit the ball. Played a bit of baseball growing up, so it kind of came from that. Never ever went straight. But I just loved seeing, it sail. And so that's still kind of what I love to do when I golf. See if we can have some fun along the way. I'm a pretty fun loving guy.
I would echo that. For the listeners who don't know Cody, I'm going to tell you he is as self-proclaimed and as on the label, a very fun loving guy. And he is very kind when he says that he loves the long ball. Cody, despite his appearances sometimes and his happy-go-lucky attitude, is a natural-born athlete. And when he can square up the club face on his driver, he melts the ball. It is insane to watch it. The problem is that sometimes when he melts the ball, he melts it so hard that his little baby cut turns into a wicked banana slice.
And no, we call it a power fade.
A wicked banana power fade. We'll go with wicked banana power fade.
And I will
I'm
say,
getting better at that.
I will say that I feel like your handicap is, that doesn't do you justice.
I would say, you know, on paper, John Paul's definitely the best golfer here. 1-to-1, head-to-head, we played 10 rounds. I think I could get him on 3 to 4 of them at least.
Oh, I'd say it's better than that. I echo what Eric says. The Ginn app hates you.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I remember putting our scores in after a particular round at our home course. We were all at Arby's sitting around a table, and I had golfed 2 strokes worse than you, and my handicap was significantly lower than yours, and I went down 0.2 on my handicap. You plugged in a round that was 2 strokes better and went up 0.3. Yeah. And none of us still to this day understand the math voodoo that makes that happen. The only conclusion that I can draw is that it's wanton hate. That app hates you.
So I'm Eric. I am the newest of the golfers here. I didn't really golf when I was younger.
Which makes this whole thing ridiculous, because like we've been, John Paul and I have been golfing for the better half of our lives, and Eric is, he can get us on a number of days. It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know about that. I can get close. Currently, my handicap is at 31.1. I'm hoping that goes up this year. No. I've been friends with John Paul for years, and about 4 or 5 years ago now, we got introduced to Cody, and one day they randomly started golfing, and I wanted to be a part of it, and they invited me, and that the rest is history.
We are so glad that you have joined our merry golfing crew.
Yes, we are very happy. Now, for the listeners who don't know Eric, I'm going to chime in again and let everybody know that I echo what Cody says. It is super frustrating to golf with you for exactly that reason, because you're just like 2 years in, and you're like, do you know how easy this is for me? Do you know how easy? It took me years and years and years to get a swing that is not as good as your swing.
He has a repeatable swing.
Yeah.
He has a very good.
2 years. You
know, the flat stick does not let him down very often.
Yeah. And last year we decided, hey, let's go out with Eric. Now we're going to start chasing these handicaps to help his, to help his esteem. Let's play a modified Stableford. And based on his handicap, we gave him 7 strokes per 9 holes. And we cannot beat him. We cannot beat him with 7 strokes.
That is a lie. That is, you have beaten me on several occasions.
Maybe once or twice, but after that, you handedly beat us every single time.
The only thing that's holding you back is blow-up holes, because you have the same potential to make pars and even the same potential to make birdies as we do. The difference is that when Cody and I are making bogeys, you're making snowmen.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll get into that. I have dialed in the reason to that. And I am going to solve that this year.
Ooh, I like it. And I'd say Eric and I are definitely the most volatile golfers. You know, we ebb and flow a lot more. We have ups and downs and all over. We got Mr. Steady Hands over here, John Paul. He's definitely the steadfast, steady golfer.
You're too kind. I am by far the oldest in the crew. I am mid-40s and feeling it big time. I am just old.
Yeah, so much older. He's like,
you're,
he's
acting
like
we should carry
older
around a walker.
No, I'm telling you right now, neither one of you has hit 40
years
yet. And I'm telling you, when you hit 40, you're going to know what I'm talking about. Your body begins to decay. And it's super, super frustrating. So I'm a 19.5 right
no,
now.
No, you are 21.5.
No, I'm a 21.5. That's right. My lowest ever handicap was a 19.1.
You went up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I was a 19.1 pre-surgery, so I'm still chipping away at it. But I got close to that 18 number, darn it. That having been said, the strength of my game where I am really good is around greens. I am very good at chipping. I'm very good at kind of getting up and down. My approach game is pretty solid with my irons.
Some would say it's too good.
I have no driver capability. I can hit a little guider, but it's I mean, with a favorable wind blowing from behind, downhill on a really warm day, at elevation where we live, I can get 225 out of my drives unless I catch a perfect one. And so, but that having been said, often we'll go out and play and Cody will smash a drive and he'll have,
you know, 70 yards of flip wedge in and I'll be back. So I have to hit 130 yards and I'll still beat him by a stroke, and it frustrates the heck out of him. And it's very satisfying.
It doesn't matter. It's ridiculous. You can be 100 yards further back and your irons are just dialed in and you'll just plop it on the green, and I'm sitting here, you know, chasing cabbage out of the ground because they didn't do enough groundskeeping work. So I'm helping them out with their rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or we'll be playing on the ninth hole and Cody will be winning and John Paul is off the green and chips it in.
It's my best story ever. I think we need to take a break for Remember When. That's the best. That's the pinnacle of the Cody John Paul relationship.
We're having an impromptu remember. Do you remember when?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Cue the Remember When music.
Do you remember when?
What was the stakes? We had stakes that day. Like, we had decided that there was something.
Sometimes we have stakes for stakes, but I don't think that was this time.
It wasn't that day, but it was a shake or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a shake, yeah.
Loser was going to buy a shake
for the winner. I was feeling quite happy. I was doing pretty good.
Yeah. I thought you had it in the bag.
Someone of my stature loves a good shake.
Yeah, and I had a horrible day that day. I was not golfing well, and nobody was golfing particularly well that day. But I got down early. And I just hung around for the whole thing. And we were playing a Stableford, and I was 4 points down on the last hole, coming to the ninth hole. And 4 points down in a Stableford, you're not going to make that. The only way that happens is if I make birdie and you make bogey. That's the only way I pick that deficit up. And you hit a tee shot to probably 5 feet off the green, but it was short-sided. On the left side with some tree trouble. And I had hit it about, 10 yards short of the green, but right on line with the flag. And you chipped on and had a longish putt for par. And I just stood behind my ball and I said, what would it take to win this thing? I got to hold this out. And I just pointed at the hole, and this is the most swaggery thing I've ever done in my life. I was like, this is going nowhere but in the hole. And I chipped it, and it bounced once. It hit the flag and dropped right in the cup. And I don't think I've ever seen you more dejected.
Oh, he was angry. He was. It wasn't dejection. He was pure anger. He was mad.
Like, there wasn't even an "Are you kidding me?" It was just silence. It was just awkward, fuming silence. And it was one of my proudest moments.
You ever see like posts online of videos of the runner running and he's like in the lead the entire time, and then in the last 2 seconds he like turns around, oh yeah, and then someone just comes from behind blazing and wins at the last second? It felt like that. And it wasn't that I was slowed down or gave up. I just didn't have any more in me, and you just decided to chip it in. It was stupid.
Although I will say, when oftentimes when you're tired, that's when you really do well. Like that one time that you were like super sick. Yeah, you were striping it that day.
It's because I channeled my inner, you know, Michael Jordan flu from, from the NBA finals. And my body's achy and I feel like crap, but I still want to golf. And so the only thing I can focus is on fundamentals. And sometimes that's what you need.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we formed the perfect trio for exactly this reason, though. And so I'll talk about this. We'll get into this in more detail later. But we are seasonal golfers in that Eric hates the cold.
Oh, I hate it.
He hates it so much. And so when it is cold outside, there's no way he is going to compete. You, on the other hand, hate the heat. Cody hates
heat. Oh, I hate it.
And when I say heat, I'm not talking like 100 degree like desert heat. That's death. Anything approaching 80.
No. I'll give you 90 plus.
Yeah, he doesn't do it. And where we live, that's a lot of the year. And so there's these golden moments in the spring and the fall for a couple of weeks where we're all kind of on even footing, but there's a significant advantage for Eric in the heat. There's a significant advantage for you in the cold. And I don't care. I golf in the I'm the crazy person. I will go golf in the snow with an alternately colored golf ball, and it doesn't bother me. It can be 112 degrees, and I will walk. I don't mind walking in the heat.
Yeah, the problem I have with cold is I can't swing. Like, my joints kind of get, I don't know, like they when it's cold, I lock up. And so I can't swing. And so not only is it cold, I am just so miserable. I can't, there's no point to it.
Maybe that's exactly the explanation, because you can't swing when it's cold. Cody can't swing when it's hot. And I can never
Cody
swing.
Cody dies when it's too hot.
I'm only legally allowed to take off so many layers of my clothing.
Yeah.
And we thank you for that.
I would say that many golfers of my generation and a little bit of yours, Jean-Paul, are quite fans of Happy Gilmore. Mm-hmm. We tried introducing Eric to it. He does not care for it, which
I
is not. The most despicable thing I've ever...
I don't
theory.
Like Adam Sandler.
Now, I have a deeper theory about this, because you always love the music that was more popular when you were in high school, and then you think all subsequent music that comes out is largely garbage and everything beforehand is largely dated. And I think you and I were lucky and fortunate enough to see Happy Gilmore when we were young, stupid teenagers. But if you were to see that for your first time when you were an adult with some discerning tastes, it probably doesn't land as well.
That's okay. That's fair dues.
It's a lot of just like, I don't know, that kind of humor that's just...
It's kind of
dumb. Not witty. It's not witty.
Oh, of course not.
And I like witty humor.
And it's not supposed to be.
That having been said, your dislike of that movie is a choke. It's a masterpiece.
It is. Wow. A masterpiece.
So this segment I'm calling The Slice is Right, in honor of the late Bob Barker.
Oh. Rest in peace, Bob.
This is John Paul versus Eric here. I'm going to be the little moderator for this. We've got a couple of games as if we were on The Price is Right.
I like All this. Right? Yes.
So just some background information here. So in the 2024 season, I had to look this up. Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau, both known for the long ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They both averaged somewhere around 320 yards per drive.
Oh, I would have expected
insane.
More.
Insane. Yeah.
I thought they did 360.
They've hit it more, but that's the average.
Okay.
Average.
So the question for both of you... The record for the longest recorded drive in a professional tournament is over or under 470 yards?
Over.
The longest recorded drive?
Yeah.
All day, over.
Okay, is this in a PGA Tour event?
Yes.
Okay, and not just the long ball competition?
Correct.
What was the number again?
470.
470?
Okay. Do you want to go first, Eric?
I don't think so. I don't think that, no.
Okay, you're going no?
Yeah.
I'm going yes. So,
oh, is this with carry or is this?
Total distance.
Oh, total distance? Yep. Oh, that's still over 100 their average.
Far.
Yeah, that's nuts. I don't know, no.
It is true. It is over 470 yards.
Oh my gosh.
In an official PGA tournament, Max Homa last year at the Plantation Course of Kapalua, which is probably what you were thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. 477 yards.
477.
Now, unofficially, Mike Austin, 1974, hit a 515-yard drive.
How
is that physically possible?
Apparently, the course they were playing at was over 2,000 feet elevation.
Okay.
And is barely downhill, and there was heavy, heavy wind behind it.
Okay, so he was it a 2,000-foot downslope?
I have no idea.
Can I just put that into perspective? On our course that we play weekly, the sixth hole is a par five?
Seventh.
Is that the seventh hole?
Yeah, that's the seventh.
It is the seventh hole. Seventh hole is a par five. It is 475 yards.
So that's drivable.
Yeah.
For that dude on that day, that is a drivable par five. That's
ridiculous.
And I have gotten to that green twice in two in my life.
Okay. Point to John Paul.
Yay.
All right. Next one. Tiger Woods has won 85 PGA Tour events, over or under?
In his entire career?
Yep.
I would say over. But I'm thinking I'm wrong because but that's what I'm going
I'm
with.
Gonna I'm going to go. I'm going to go under, but not much, because there was a time, literally, where it was boring.
Yeah, he just won everything. When he was younger, he was the
And it was for a long stretch. I mean, it was a long time.
Well, I feel a little bit bad here because Chumpaw's right again.
Oh, no.
This is rigged.
It was 82. Okay, we're going to switch things up a little bit. I think this is a little bit more even of the odds. I want the closest number. On average, around how many dimples does a standard golf ball have? No Googling?
Is that
no
before or after I hammered into the cart path three times?
All right. Do you have a number?
Oh, not even close. Give me 5 seconds.
And we're not going to go closest without being over or anything like that. Just closest number, over or under is what I'm looking for.
I think I
have
the disadvantage of going first because I think...
Oh, I think we go at the same time.
Oh, okay.
I'm just waiting for you to have a number.
Okay. Hold your thumb up when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Oh, I got it. Ready, go.
Okay. 200.
850.
Oh, you said?
850.
You said?
200.
Eric is closer.
Yay!
336.
Oh, I was going to go with 300.
I was way off.
You were way off, man. Okay, close two to one.
Man, that's
this is
one
great.
Fun. I want to see. Now I want to see what an 800 dimple golf ball looks like.
Now I want you to grab a golf ball and take a marker and dot every single time
there
and
you
count.
Go.
This is what I'm expecting you to do.
Yeah.
All right, next one.
Kay. I kind of want to, but I can't. I don't have time.
In an officially sanctioned PGA tournament round, on the tee box, you were allowed to use a putter. True or false?
True.
Is true.
Yeah.
You can use any club.
You can use
any
club you
any
want.
Club in your bag. All right, 3-2. John Paul still leads. Three questions left. All still within distance.
Goodness.
And these are riddles.
Riddles.
Okay.
Okay.
And this is going to be a little bit. This is first one to get the riddle.
Okay.
All right.
This
and
is more
just
speed,
blurt it out.
I don't watch sports.
That's kind of what I figured. I was like, I felt bad doing this segment because like the only sports we can get out of you is when you're with us.
Yeah.
But you did pretty well. You hung in there. Okay. Riddle number one. I'm small but mighty. Sometimes I get tossed. Sometimes I stay in the pocket. Without me, your putts might not count.
Ball marker.
Boom.
Whoa. Hadn't even digested the question yet. This is gonna be a sweeper.
All right. I'm lightweight but always needed. You might break me, but you'll need another one.
T.
Ooh, oh, just Aaron, snuck out. Aaron. 4-3. Comes down to this. See if you can come back
lobsters.
For the tie. This is probably
watermelons.
Baja Blast Mountain Dew.
Hoop snakes.
When you take me, it's time to move. But take too many, and you'll lose. What am I?
Mulligan?
Nope.
Could you say it again?
When you take me, it's time to move. But take too many, and you will lose. What am I?
Strokes?
Yeah.
Yep, when you take a stroke, it's time to move on. If you take too many, you're going to lose.
Okay.
There you go. Stroke. Yeah.
All right, tie game.
Tie game after all of that.
Fantastic.
Well done.
We're evenly matched.
All right,
sir.
I'm going to give you some of this. Yeah, you get some applause.
There it is.
Oh,
that's fantastic.
I love it.
Next up is a segment we're calling At the Turn, and the topic for this episode's discussion is our go-to snack, At the Turn. I mean, I know the default for a lot of people when they think of grabbing a snack at the turn is a hot dog.
Okay, so then we'll jump into the worst. For me, it's grabbing a hot dog. I absolutely despise hot
dogs.
Do
you really?
It's like the garbage meat. Like, it is gross.
No. See, okay, all right, hold on. Are we talking like Oscar Mayer Wiener Krabby hot dogs or like Costco hot dogs? Because that's a good hot dog.
I don't think
I
Eric
don't
cares.
Like hot dogs. They're literally just the garbage meat.
Oh, man. Even an all-beef hot dog?
Yeah, I hate hot dogs. So, funny story. Hopefully my mom never listens to this. 1 year for my birthday, my mom was like, I made you your favorite meal, hot dogs. And I was like, oh, thanks, Mom. I couldn't eat them. I just went home without eating.
Is it your brother's? Does your brother like hot dogs?
No.
Okay.
Neither of us like hot dogs, but he'll eat them. Like, he's okay with them.
I just didn't know if it was like a sibling mix-up, you know?
Like, yeah, if I was ever on a loan and someone just randomly dropped a box of hot dogs, I would still starve. because I would not eat the hot dogs.
Now, I brought up hot dogs because it's kind of the standard go-to. I don't know if it's my number one go-to. My problem, if I'm at the turn and I'm grabbing a snack, I don't want something that's going to make me feel really full, like for the second, you know, part of the course. So grab me a Gatorade, you know, grab me a Body Armor or just some sort of, you know, electrolyte drink, maybe some like almonds or peanuts or something, and I'm good to go.
Oh, okay. So not even like a granola bar or anything?
Granola doesn't agree with me.
Oh, okay.
We're enemies.
What about you, John Paul?
Enemies. That's a strong word. I have my favorite snack, and you guys know what this is. I love gummy candies of any kind, but I will eat all of them, but the Harbro gummy candies are next level good. And my favorite of all of them are gummy Coke bottles. They are my favorite thing.
Okay, it's a tough question for you.
Yeah.
The Coke bottles or the lobsters?
No, definitely Coke bottles.
Oh, really?
Okay. Definitely Coke bottles.
To expound on that a little bit, a fresh bag of Coke bottles or ones that have been sitting in your golf bag for 2 weeks and are stale?
Because this is my thing, is that I love Coke bottles, but I love them best when they're stale. And there's a reason for this.
How about when they've melted into one giant blob of Coke bottles?
No, I will explain where this comes from, okay? Without going into too much details, I am a type 2 diabetic, and so I have to be careful about how much sugar I eat. Now, that having been said, I'm not successful about doing that, but I should. But when I was first diagnosed with diabetes, it was devastating for a period of time. And I had to eat like 60 carbs a day, and that's nothing. And
that's like a slice of bread.
Literally everything that went into my mouth was measured, and that was for almost a 2-year period.
Oh, geez.
And so when I was going through that phase, when I was walking on a golf course, I was burning a lot of calories. And so as a treat to myself, I could eat one Coke bottle per hole.
Oh, okay.
And then that would be on a 9-hole round, I would eat 9 Coke bottles. So on the tee box, I would pop one into my mouth. And I think that's where I developed my taste for the stale one, because you can chew on a really stale gummy Coke bottle for ages. It will last forever. And even when you think it's gone, you'll be finding pieces of it in your teeth.
Gross. Yeah.
That's money. That's a bonus snack for me. That's calorie free. I've already counted those calories. And so I get on the green, I'm like still sucking on. I'm like, oh yeah, baby. That, and it's just stuck with me. I still love it.
For me, I would say I like those. They're hard to bring, though. I like the granola bars that are like the really crumbly ones. I can't remember what they're called.
Yeah, like a Nature Valley.
Yeah, Nature Valley. Yeah. I like those. Or I like to bring myself a peanut butter and jelly because I feel like that's a good pick-me-up. And
we've had this conversation before with John Paul a little bit, and I think you might have been there, Eric. One of the things that we wish was more available in the United States
is the sausage roll.
I
mean, Rick Shields sells it. No. It looks so good.
I have not had a golf course sausage roll, but I've made one before.
So I will say, I would eat the heck out of that over a stupid hot dog, because sausage is worthwhile.
I have been to the promised land, gentlemen. I got the chance to go to St. Andrews, as you well know, last year in the summer. I had a sausage roll on the course at St. Andrews. We have it wrong. They win that one. That the sausage roll is infinitely superior to the hot dog in every way.
Yeah. What about a bratwurst? Do you like brats?
Yeah, brats are okay.
Okay.
Especially if they got like the cheese brats. Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that ludicrous display last night? What was Arsenal thinking?
Oh, gosh.
So we're going to be talking about what we've been watching and what we've been thinking about.
Oh, can I open this up really quickly? So this will be lagged out a little bit, and so maybe things will have turned around, but the new TGL Golf League is in full force right now as we're recording this. And arbitrarily, with zero background knowledge, I looked before the season began, and I have chosen to back Boston Commons as my team. Now, there are two compelling reasons for this. Number one, on paper, they should be unbeatable. Like, Rory McIlroy is a magnificent golfer. He's good with leadership, so you'd assume he'd captain a really good team. They have Hideki Matsuyama on that team.
He's good.
We haven't even seen him. And they haven't won a match. And they've got the best logo in TGA by far. It's a frog with a golf ball belly. I'd buy that merch just because I like the frog. And they have not won. I love TGA. I'm all in. It is very entertaining. I enjoy it. The only issue with it is that it's always a blowout, which is a little bit disappointing. And my team that I arbitrarily picked based on virtually no information for some reason is not dominating in the way that I had anticipated they would.
How can you watch that? Is it only on ESPN?
ESPN on ESPN Plus. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
just add it to your Disney bundle, man. It's an extra
$2. We're going to switch. Don't worry.
It's pretty entertaining. I'll agree. I've been watching a bit of the TGL lately, and it fills a good void because like we already had Pebble Beach and the Pro-Am, and then we've had the Genesis Invitational, you know. But really, the golf kind of season hasn't like really kicked off, I feel.
Yeah. I was watching the match from yesterday, and Tiger Woods was in a bunker on the downslope. The man is a golfing god. The things that he's done around the greens in his lifetime just blow my mind. And he caught it fat and failed to get out of the bunker. It hit the front lip of the bunker and rolled back. And I'm sitting in my living room last night going, one of us, like as loud as I can. My wife is in the other room. She's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you're just like him.
Yeah. I also have failed to get out of a sand trap, and therefore.
Did you hear what he did last night? In the TGL?
Yes, and I watched it. It was the funniest turn thing.
The 90 versus the 99 versus 290 or 190.
So it was like 199 the carry, and I don't know if he heard wrong or didn't look wrong. Or whatever. He hit a 99-yard shot, and everyone's like, what are you doing?
I heard 99.
We're so desperately unfair to him, though, because how many times have we had it 199 into the pin and tried to hit 199 and hit it 100 yards? It's a large number
of times. It's different when, yeah.
I think if you watch it really, really closely, I think that he is not as concentrated on the golf as he could be because he is just too busy hating Kevin Kisner every second of the... You can tell he's smiling, but he's boiling behind those eyes. He's like, Kiz, get it together, man.
Yeah.
Any un-golf-related watches that are miss?
I've been doing Alone. That's pretty fun.
Oh, Alone, the Australia Alone?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the complete lack of mental fortitude.
Oh my gosh. Half the team, half the people are out after a week. I mean, I could camp for a week and be fine.
Yeah, like two of the contestants went home after one night.
Yeah, and the one guy's like, I just couldn't find food. Like you started looking. Like you didn't even put a fishing line out. Like you didn't do a thing. You looked for a day. Back to some golf. I've been watching a lot of Bob Does Sports.
Mm.
If we could ever get big enough to do a collab with them, I think it would be hilarious. I think we'd do well. I've been trying to figure out what the pairing would be. It'd be fun, though.
I think we all just call dibs on Fat Perez. Like, all of us want Fat Perez.
John Paul and Bob.
No. Cody gets Bob.
No,
I'll take Joey.
I think Cody gets Joey.
I'll take Ben Yaman over.
Let the man speak.
Bob.
Let the man
and
speak.
And then I would be with FP because I have the highest handicap. Let's be honest.
No.
We have a tradition to drink a birdie beer, but we don't drink alcohol. So it is a root beer. And because John Paul is diabetic, it is... sugar-free. So finding a good birdie beer is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we just have A&W, which isn't, you know, amazing.
Zero sugar.
Mm-hmm. So let's give it a taste.
And now we make the chink.
Yeah, and to make it even better, we have it in little shot glasses, which... All right.
And we actually bring a can with us, like, on the course, so that, like, if any of us get a birdie, we'll do a little.
So if any of you out there ever have some suggestions or want to send us a diet root beer, please do.
Yeah, we're always up for such. So let's power rank this thing. It's obviously going to be the top and bottom of the list.
I
Out of 10.
I give the A&W the zero sugar. It, to me, it's a 7.
Yeah, I was gonna say 7 or 8.
It's not bad, and I would grab it, and like if I wanted a root beer, it would be kind of one of the regular go tos. I've had better though.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's no artisanal.
I'm gonna go a little lower. I'm gonna go a 6, and I'll tell you why, because it goes down nicely. One of the issues with all diet sodas is that they sometimes have an aftertaste that doesn't finish very well. It doesn't finish terribly well. It goes down nicely and it tastes nice while it's on your tongue, but its after image is not as palatable as some other ones that I've tried. So I'm going to get up. I got a 6.5.
Okay.
Solid 6.5.
That's fair. All right, that finishes our round here on For the Record, Golf Geeks and Good Times. You can catch us at ForTheRecord.com. That's F-O-R-E, TheRecord.com.
If you have enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. We would super appreciate it.
Join us on our Instagram and Blue Sky.
And yeah, we would just love to hear from you whenever you get a chance. And please look forward to our next episode. On the next episode of For the Record...
Goal number one doesn't seem lofty, but I'm telling you, this is something I have to do this year or I will lose my mind.
That's when I blow up and I need to fix that.
It's a good goal.
It is the most aggravating thing in golf. Oh yeah, baby. And immediately duck hooked one into the water.
It was the hot dog you had at the turn. That was the problem.
Yeah. Having a hot dog at the turn, that's a problem.
That's what I'm imagining in my hand when I think, ooh, I get to go golfing today. That's the club that I imagine in my hand.
How boring is that?